Well, good morning, everybody. We had a little bit of, for those of you that are visiting with us this morning, we had a little bit of a time change. We're going to start a series today leading up to the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so over the course of the next 6 weeks, our services are going to start at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. So a little bit of a time change. We're going to have our regular period of worship, and then we're going to break for about 5 minutes, then we're going to watch a video. And the video is no more than a half hour long, and it talks about the time of silence. Those 400 years between the Old and the New Testament when God's people didn't hear from him. Not a word said. There's no prophecy. There's no nothing. People just waited. Of course, that waiting was eventually answered. Part of God came to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And as Paul Harvey used to say, you probably know the rest of that story. But to get started today, let me ask you a question. Who likes to wait? Who's going to wake up tomorrow morning on the first day of the week and say, man, I hope traffic is extra heavy this morning. I just want to wait in traffic. You know, you might be going to the grocery store and you might say, boy, I hope those lines at the checkout are extra long. And, next Friday, I'm sure that they will be at all the stores. You might think, well, boy, I hope when I go out to eat tonight, I hope the service is extra slow because I want to spend a lot of time waiting. I don't think there's any of us that like to do that, right? Our whole lives and our whole society is geared around having it right now, right? We have fast food. Pop something in the microwave. A minute later, you have supper. We have easy passes. You know, I don't have to stop anymore at the toll booth. I just fly right through it. Here in Pennsylvania, you're supposed to go like 5 miles an hour. In other states, you keep going 70 right through the toll booths. Comcast comes out to the house, and they install on demand. You know, you want to watch a movie, you press a button, and 3 seconds later, there's your movie, right? Everything is on demand. Well, there's two types of waiting, and sometimes we wait with joyful expectation, right? You wait, you can't wait to turn 16, because 16, you get to go take your driver's test, you have some freedom. You joyfully wait for the day of your wedding, for the birth of a child, right? You want to see a picture of joyful waiting? I'll show you a picture of joyful waiting, okay? I don't know what your Christmas tradition is in your house, okay? But this was taken on Christmas morning about 16 or 17 years ago at our house, okay? Here was the deal on Christmas Eve. So we get the kids all ready for bed, and of course they were anxious to go to bed, right? They couldn't wait to go to bed. And we said, here's the deal. When you get up, whoever's the first one that gets up, I'm sure you're going to get your brothers up or your brothers and sister up, and you got to come get mom and I, okay? And we'll all go downstairs together, okay? Of course, Ann always tried to argue every year that, hey, can't we just sleep in tomorrow? That argument never, ever worked. That argument continues to this day. You know, we'll have Christmas at 7. Now, you know, next year at 8, at 9, at 10. It was whoever got up first, right? And I was the biggest kid because I wanted to get down there too, right? I didn't want to wait for Christmas. I wanted it to happen right now. I was tired of waiting. Our kids were tired of waiting. You know what happened right after I snapped that picture? There was a stampede down the steps. And it's amazing that no one ever got hurt over those years because there was pushing and shoving. You can see Paxton's up there kind of talking to Addison because Addison has no idea what's going on and no idea what to expect. And when they ran into the living room, it was interesting to see their reactions, right? The two oldest, Jordan's the biggest one there, and Tyson's in the blue and red footy pajamas. They were footy pajamas. They were very pragmatic in their approach. Right? They would look around the tree and they'd see, okay, well, whose name's on that big box? How many boxes? Right? Addison is our youngest child, and she was always kind of playing catch up. Three older brothers, that's pretty normal, right? And so she would just kind of wander in, and of course her stuff was kind of easy to spot because it was all the girly stuff, right? Right. Paxson, our youngest son, he walked in, and when he would go into the living room, his hands always went like this. That was his expression on Christmas morning. And that was the joyfulness that just exuded out of his personality. But sometimes when we wait, you know, waiting's not always joyful, is it? Sometimes it's hard. It might be waiting on test results. It might be waiting to hear from a loved one that we haven't heard from in a long time. It might be waiting to find out if we got the job or not. But the fact is, we spend a lot of our times as humans waiting. From the fall in Genesis chapter 3 until Genesis chapter 12, when God made a promise to Abraham that he was going to establish a great nation, and that his promise of deliverance was going to come through Abraham. From the time that they spent in Egypt, if you start up there in the left-hand corner and work your way through, from that time that they left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, they wandered in the wilderness, God's people have always spent time waiting. And even after they got to the promised land, getting into the promised land was difficult. They had to overcome a lot of challenges, a lot of enemies, from the reign of David to the time of the prophets to the time that the kingdoms were split. The Syrians took the northern kingdom, the Babylonians took the southern kingdom. Through that period of 400 years of silence, God's people have always waited, and waiting has been anything but easy. And so the central question is, during that time of waiting, we, just like they did, we always ask the same question: will God keep his promises? And if the answer to that is no, then honestly, we're wasting our time. We don't even have to be here today. But if the answer is yes, that changes everything. That's the central question that Christianity hinges on: will God keep his promises? And if that answer is yes, that changes everything. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you that we can come together as your church, that we can praise you, that we can lift up your Son. Father, we pray for your Spirit to guide our hearts and our minds as we look at people in your Word that have waited. And that wait has not been easy, but that wait has always been worth the wait. Father, we pray for your blessings, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Next one, Andrew. So, waiting on God, it's never easy, it's never fun. It requires patience and trust. David said it this way: let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. You know, waiting quietly is kind of tough sometimes, right? What does waiting quietly allow us to do? It allows us to fix our eyes on him. It allows us to get all the noise and all the distractions out of our lives and focus solely on him and to listen for his response. David also says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about the evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. So we're supposed to do two things. We're supposed to wait quietly. We're supposed to wait patiently. Waiting reminds us, this is a hard one for me, waiting reminds me that God's in control and I'm not. I'm on God's terms, not on mine. I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. I long for the Lord more than centuries long before the dawn. Yes, more than centuries before the dawn. Underline a couple words in there. I'm counting on the Lord. What's it mean to count on God? That means to expect him to do something, right? I'm expecting him to fulfill his promises. And David really goes and he emphasizes that by saying it twice, right? I'm counting on you, God, to do something. A couple months ago, we talked about the word hope. And what does that mean? It's not wishful thinking. It's an expectation that I believe that something is going to happen. I have an expectation for God. Now, he has expectations for me. Don't misunderstand that. But I have expectations for him that he's going to fulfill his promises. I long for the Lord more than the centuries long for the dawn. So back then, they had centuries, right? They're on the walls. They're looking for the enemies. Anyone ever work third shift? Oh, that's the worst, right? How much do you long for 6 a.m. to come? Oh, it can't come fast enough. Years ago, I worked at Hershey Park, and I was on security. Now, the biggest thing that ever happened, I was part-time summer help. Biggest thing that ever happened that when I was a security guard were kids spitting off of that ride, that aerial ride that goes, and then we chase the kids down, and now that was the biggest thing that ever happened. But anyhow, they picked one person to stay in that park after they shoot everybody out. One person is in that park walking around from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. I got to do that a couple times. Okay, let me tell you about longing for the dawn. It couldn't come fast enough. You'd have to walk through Zoo America. It'd be pitch black. And you knew that something was standing just a few feet away from you, like staring at you. Had the heebie-jeebies all the time. I mean, it was weird. And then probably about like 3 a.m. came, you'd find the ride that had the most comfortable seats. And you'd sit down and you'd wait. You'd have your radio on. You'd just wait for the dawn to come. Could never come quick enough. I can really relate to what David's saying there. More than the centuries long for the dawn, yes, more than the centuries long for the dawn, I'm counting on you to come through with your promises. When's the last time you heard anybody talk about Habakkuk? Me neither. I haven't heard anyone talk about Habakkuk in like forever. But here's Habakkuk, and let me give you a little bit of background. With Habakkuk. He was a prophet. He was a prophet in the Old Testament. Things in his society were really messed up. Okay? They weren't going well. Yeah, that is the first one. He starts out chapter 1, verse 1. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received, "How long, Lord, must I cry for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife. Conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed. Justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteousness so that justice is perverted." Does that sound familiar? That could be America today. Forget 3,000 years ago. He could be writing those words about our country right now. The next part of this, we talked last week in the adult Bible class about how God uses nations and what he uses them for. And even though some nations are bad in their form of government, he calls what he is doing good. God responds to Habakkuk. He says, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told." And if you look down a little bit further in chapter 1 in Habakkuk, the nation that he used was the Babylonians. And they were horrible people. They persecuted God's people. But God used them to accomplish his purposes. Habakkuk, he says, "Okay, God," in the beginning of chapter 2, he says, "I'm going to stand at my watch. I'm going to station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I'm going to give to this complaint. The ramparts, those are the walls of the city, right? Habakkuk says, I'm going to station myself on those walls. And what does station mean? That means to stand before. I'm going to stand there and I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to expect him to answer, to fulfill that promise that he made. That's what we need to do. We need to stand before God and expect him to do what he says he's going to do. Paul says that really while we're waiting, it's God, waiting on God allows him to do his work. In Romans chapter 5, Paul writes these words, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, but we know how dearly God loves us because he has given the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Do I have another one there? So look at the progression in this verse, right? Problems and trials leads to endurance, which leads to character, which leads to a confident hope of salvation, right? A confident expectation that we have because we're Christians. Notice the progression, though. He doesn't start with, you have a confident hope of salvation. You're going to have trials, problems. That's going to build endurance. That's going to strengthen character. And then you're going to have a confident hope of salvation in that order. There's four Anvil Cuyahoga girls basketball coaches here today. Okay? Myself, Tyson, Hillary, and Addison, okay? I always tell my players that this is it's the progression's very simple. Hard work equals success equals fun. Okay? When you're successful, you have fun, right? You don't start with the fun and then expect success. You start with the hard work leads to success, that leads to fun. That's exactly what Paul's saying right here. He's saying you start with the trials and the problems, leads to endurance, it builds character, and you have a confident hope of salvation because of that. Peter says, for God is pleased when conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you're beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with us. Next one. Jesus gave us these words, his disciples. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. For there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me and where I am. That's a promise that he gave to those of us that wait on him, that we endure trials and tribulations. We have this promise at the end. Waiting on God's never easy. The timing is not often what we hope for because, you know, if it was up to me, I'd want it right now, right? We're waiting on a minister. Dave mentioned it in his prayer this morning. We're waiting on a minister. If I had my brothers, we would have had one a long time ago. I wouldn't have to be up here today. But sometimes, you know, it's the timing is not what we want. God's answer often isn't our idea of a perfect fit. Sometimes we might think we need this, but he gives us that. But waiting on God is always worth it. Back to that picture, Andrew. Who do you think's the happiest person up there? It's kind of a trick question. The happiest person isn't up there. The happiest person was Ann and I. because we knew we got to watch our children's excitement and expectation grow over the course of the days that led up to Christmas. We had a little calendar that they would move the little teddy bear one day at a time. And each time that little teddy bear moved, man, they got more and more excited. Okay? But you know why we were really the happiest ones? Because we knew what was underneath the tree. We knew what they were going to experience on Christmas morning. And it didn't have to be a lot of stuff, but we knew that they were going to have a great time. I think that in a way is how God looks at our time of waiting. God knows that if we're doing what we should be doing, that we're patiently waiting on Him, that we're stationing ourselves before Him, like we just read the words of Jesus, He's building something amazing for us. And I think that when He says those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," I think some of us are going to run into heaven like this. If you are in a time of waiting and you'd like the prayers of this church, we can certainly pray with you. If you're not a New Testament Christian, we can help you out with that too. We have a baptistry there. It's nice and warm. If you have any needs, please come. It's together we stand and sing.